From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Jamin Shively is the former Microsoft corporate strategy manager who would like to establish a national quality brand of marijuana. You might remember former Mexican President Vicente Fox came to Seattle for a press conference that Shively held about his new venture. Jamin is the founder and CEO of Diego Pellicer Incorporated. There's an interesting story behind that name, and we'll get that in a moment. But first of all, I'd like to hear a little bit more about you, Jamin. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Ross. Great to be here.
Your background, I see, is engineering and marketing. You also worked on an online gourmet business, food business, called Findood. Is Findood still around?
Findood. No, it's not.
Findood.
It's not.
Findood. So what? How'd you get this idea for a national brand of marijuana?
So about 2 years ago, I was out for a long walk with a good friend of mine who is a colleague from Microsoft, one of the top programmers, absolutely brilliant guy. And he told me that he was using cannabis regularly. And I was like, what the heck are you doing? I mean, aren't you concerned you're going to hurt your brain? And he said, no, to the contrary. I'm convinced, I've done the research, I'm convinced that within 5 years, cannabis will come to be regarded as a health food. And that completely blew my mind. I said, you got to show me what you've been researching on this. And he showed me. And what I found is that cannabis is completely non-toxic at any concentration. It won't kill a single cell in your brain or any other part of your body. And it's also not physically addictive. And when compared to alcohol, which causes tens of thousands of deaths per year, cannabis is not known to have killed a single human being in all of human history, and all 8,000 years that people have been, you know, using cannabis. And so I started to try cannabis, you know, infrequently in small doses, and had very, very positive effects, very positive results in terms of my ability to connect and relate with people, my ability to brainstorm and focus. And it just was like, wow, it was just a huge eye opener. And so when the opportunity to actually get into the business in the state of Washington with the passage of Initiative 502, I talked with some friends, some business partners, and we decided to jump in.
Now, you're talking here about a national brand. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So by national brand, we mean a brand which eventually will be marketed in all 50 states as legalization progresses. And so Diego Pellicer, which is also the name of my great-grandfather, that is the brand that we want to stand for premium cannabis, not just in the United States, but worldwide.
Do you have any kind of a head start on this? You're already beginning the process of finding the premium cannabis, which will become this national brand.
Absolutely. That's an extremely important part of it, as are several other aspects to, you know, building a national and international brand. And it just so happens that here in Washington State, we have some of the very best growers in the world, not just in the country, but in the entire world. So Washington State produces some of the finest cannabis anywhere.
So it'll be a single cannabis plant, then it'll be reproduced. It'll be as reliable as a Marlboro cigarette, presumably. It'll taste the same everywhere you go.
Well, for a particular sub-brand of Diego Pellicer. So Diego Pellicer is a retailer, and just like Trader Joe's, we'll have a number of different products that we'll be retailing. But for any given product, what you have just articulated is as close as possible to the ideal that we'd like to get. It's not perfect because, you know, with cloning of plants, there are certain issues that you bump up against over time after successive generations. But there are ways to even address those concerns. And so there will be a lot of evolution of the technology, particularly around reproducibility of the same exact experience no matter where you are in the country, because different climates, even though most of it is still indoor grown, different climates definitely have an impact, even for indoor grow operations.
Will you be using genetically modified cannabis?
Absolutely not. The only genetic modifications are those which occur in nature when a breeder, you know, pairs a given, you know, mother and father and produces a new, you know, an offspring with new genetics. But I mean, that's how we all got here. So that's what we use, the natural process.
Jamin, how far along are you with this anyway? You've got the idea and you've started to begin to cultivate it to find these brands that you'll eventually be growing in large quantities and selling first in the legal states, Colorado and Washington, and then across the country. How far else have you gotten with this?
Yeah, so we've made a key acquisition of the rights to the most competent professional marijuana dispensary operator in the state of Washington, which is the Northwest Patient Resource Center, headed by John Davis, who's on the boards of directors or executive director of the largest organizations, professional organizations of cannabis in the United States, such as HempFest, which starts tomorrow. And with that, we've acquired absolutely priceless intellectual property in terms of the industry, in terms of the politics, the policy, the different qualities and varieties of cannabis, testing, retail operations, security, the treatment of patients, et cetera. And likewise, we're making partnerships with other organizations and companies across the country for eventual expansion into other markets. And so we've also invested quite heavily on the legal side. There's a lot of different aspects to this, from the potential criminal aspect to the securities aspects and how these all interplay with each other.
Well, yeah, and I want to get to the banking aspect, because I've been talking to people and they say there's a real problem here when it comes to banking, because it's against federal law to have any kind of drug money involved in drugs that the federal government finds illegal going through banks. And I've even talked to people who are not directly dealing with marijuana, but just dealing with ancillary products, and they say they're having a hard time with their banks because they just don't want to get involved. How are you getting over that hurdle?
Yeah, so we've got relationships with a couple of different banks, and we're actually working on developing the precise mechanism that will enable us to operate in a very seamless way on that. So it takes a lot of work is the bottom line, and we're also. That's a whole topic unto itself.
Which banks are you working with?
I actually can't name them because, I mean, that's part of the situation we're in right now, is that we have to be very careful and delicate with our banking relationships, because if we, you know, suddenly start throwing around some names, people could start, you know, making complaints and, you know. So it has to be done relatively discreetly, but for the bank's interest and for ours.
You know, we've seen that the Department of Justice is still looking at even medical marijuana facilities in Washington State and California, and there have been some arrests made, allegations that these places were violating federal laws in some way. So even though there's kind of a hands-off policy, there's not quite a hands-off policy. Have you been approached by the Department of Justice about your plans?
No, absolutely not. In fact, what's interesting is what the federal government actually does in terms of prosecution and putting pressure on businesses and whatnot is dictated much less by not entirely by the laws which are written on the books, but rather by policy. And in this regard, the policies of the Obama administration have actually been remarkably consistent and can be summarized by simply saying the policy is basically go after the bad guys, go after the ones who are either selling too close to schools, who are evading taxes, or who are laundering money, or, you know, doing any one of a number of things which everyone agrees are harmful. On the other hand, on the other end of the spectrum, you have companies like the Northwest Patient Resource Center, and there are very few of those, which are very professional operators and doing everything right, absolutely meticulously, a good neighbor to the community. They've got good relationships with the police department, fire department, mayor's office, all levels of government, and are very active in the conversation of how to actually promote and create regulations for the industry, even ahead of what the Liquor Control Board has been doing through, for example, the Coalition of Cannabis Standards and Ethics.
Jamin Shively is with me. He's a former Microsoft corporate strategy manager, and now he'd like to establish a national quality brand of marijuana. He's the founder and CEO of Diego Pellicer, and we're going to hear more about that in just a moment. I was talking to Washington State's cannabis consultant, Mark Kleiman, and I asked him about your plan. And he said that if you go ahead with this to make a national marijuana brand, it's going to make you a federal target.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right in the sense that if we were to go ahead tomorrow and roll out a national brand and start operating in multiple states, then we would become a federal target. And so what we need to do is actually grow and expand and develop in a way which is consistent with federal policy. And we're in conversations with government folks at different levels ongoingly in order to determine exactly what is the most responsible way that we can grow and develop. Because it's very important to keep in mind that in order for regulation to be successful, we need to show success here in the state of Washington. And that means allowing companies such as ours to participate, to build and operate facilities in a professional way and at a scale that makes it economically viable.
When you say you're in conversations with government officials, federal officials?
Actually, state and local. We haven't engaged federal officials directly yet.
Because the federal officials have said they're interested in prosecuting large multi-state marijuana operations, which is kind of exactly what you've been describing to us.
So here's the thing. Basically, the Berlin Wall of prohibition of cannabis is coming down, and it's coming down slowly, and it's coming down in, I would say, mostly a responsible way. though really it needs to happen a lot more quickly, given the number of people who are dying and being arrested and being incarcerated for possession of a non-toxic, non-addictive substance, which is vastly safer than alcohol and tobacco. And so there is real urgency here. And so what we're doing as a business is we're both helping to forward the conversation about accelerating the end of prohibition and its replacement with regulation. So we have announced our plans to expand nationally, but we're only doing that as it becomes sufficiently legal to do so.
Is that to say that your brand from Diego Pellicer will be for sale in Washington State and Colorado sometime next year?
In Colorado, if and when it becomes sufficiently legal for us to market that brand in the state of Colorado, given that it is a Washington State brand. So that remains to be seen. But the state of Washington, absolutely. We will be marketed here.
You mentioned there is no physical addiction to marijuana, but according to some, about 4% of people who use it do get kind of a psychological addiction to it. It becomes a problem for them. Liquor producers have drink responsibly campaigns. Do you think that you, as a company planning to sell marijuana on a wide basis, has a responsibility to encourage responsible use of marijuana?
Yeah. First, I want to point out an important clarification, which is addiction and habit formation. So marijuana is not physically addictive. However, you can form the habit of consuming marijuana, just like the habit of drinking coffee or sending text messages or watching television.
To excess. And many of us know folks who've gotten into that.
Exactly. Or simply eating or drinking or smoking or any number of things. Smoking and drinking are addictive. Those are physically addictive substances. But in terms of consuming cannabis safely, that's actually a very high priority for the experience of customers inside of our stores, is that the educational displays add value to the person who doesn't know a single thing about cannabis or knows very, very little, all the way up to other displays for more advanced conversations on the topic of cannabis. But safety and safe usage and safe dosage and making sure that you don't need to drive any place or be responsible for anyone, certainly not children, for the next 5 hours, those kinds of safety warnings, as well as 800 numbers that they can call, which are staffed 24/7 for people who can answer questions. So, for example, they eat an edible. This is a common occurrence. Somebody takes an edible, and even though they've read the instructions and whatnot, they still expect to feel something within 30 minutes, whereas they may not feel anything until an hour has passed. And so after 30 minutes, they take more, right? That's a big mistake, but some people do it. And so it's very important to have safety information, including an 800 number, to find out, okay, what did you take? What does the package say? And then they can determine if the person is at risk or if they just need to, take a nap and sleep it off.
Jamin Shively is with me. We've got a question about his plans to create a national brand of cannabis. Give us a call. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, outside the Seattle area, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. And the company, Diego Pellicer, tell us where that it was your grandfather?
It was actually my great-grandfather.
Okay, and who was he?
Diego Pellicer was a Spaniard. He was born in southeastern Spain in the mid-1800s. I've actually been to the house out in the country where he was born. He was educated in Madrid as a civil engineer, and then he joined the civil service, and he became the vice governor of the island of Cebu in the Philippines. And over time, he became the largest grower of hemp in the world. And he made many different products with the hemp, but one very notably was Manila rope, which became world famous. In fact, he supplied hemp rope to the Spanish Armada, to the Spanish fleet, during the Spanish-American War. So I literally have cannabis in my blood.
Now, that's interesting you bring that up, because that's sort of a different use of cannabis than I think what we've been talking about. We're talking about recreational or medicinal use of smoking marijuana. But there are two states that allow hemp to be produced industrially, and it is an industrial product. Is this something that you see Diego Pellicer getting into, or are you strictly going to be the consumable kind of cannabis?
No, absolutely. We intend to be in both cannabis and in hemp. Hemp is an amazing material, which can be used for so many different uses, such as pulp and paper, textiles, plastics, oils, biofuels, building materials. And they've made entire houses out of hemp. Hempcrete is an important building material. And so whereas to my knowledge, it's actually there aren't any states that I know of where you can actually cultivate it in the United States. I know it's being considered in a couple of states. That's an area where there's tremendous economic potential for the United States to, you know, end the prohibition of hemp as an industrial crop.
We've talked to lots of folks who are thinking about going into the marijuana, the cannabis business, small time. You're thinking very big here, Jamin. Are there others who are also thinking as big as you are?
There are definitely others who are thinking as big, and I've talked to a number of them. And as far as we're concerned, we have established the best business model and the best team and the best plan for succeeding in this business at a large scale. And since you mentioned it, it's an important point to note that to be successful at this business at this particular time in history, there are so many different aspects, from government relations to legal to safety standards and testing and all the engineering of that and the chemistry of it, the intellectual property associated with running a business in a professional way that relates to cannabis, which, you know, is just coming out of the shadows as a product, as an industry. It requires a certain scale, and it requires a certain level of investment to be successful. And we have taken full stock of that and have made our plans accordingly.
You know, a lot of folks think this shouldn't be a big business in the way you've described. They sort of see it developing in a better way if it's done on a small scale basis. Why do you think it needs to be big?
Yeah, it needs to be big. Well, it doesn't need to be big for everyone, but at this particular stage in the industry, to be successful, it's very important that we dot all the I's and cross all the T's on the legal front, the government front, regulation, policy, the testing and the quality of the product, the genetics of the product, the retail experience. There are just so many different aspects to it that all need to be done right, that it's very hard for a small-scale operation to economically attend to all those aspects and turn a profit with just one or two stores. It definitely can be done, but only after taking certain risks. And so we're very careful to mitigate risks as best as possible in the business.
What about the climate of business? If you are successful with Diego Pais here and you do create a national brand in coming years, will that drive out the small marijuana entrepreneur? Will this be kind of the Walmartization of the marijuana business?
No, absolutely not. In fact, as rules and regulations are fully developed and as accountants come to specialize in the industry, and lawyers, more and more lawyers specialize in the industry, and consultants specialize in the industry, then a lot of these services will be able to be provided much more economically to smaller businesses, as well as a very important factor is the legal aspect. I mean, once it's fully legal and it's fully regulated, perhaps not just at a state level, but possibly at a federal level as well, then it'll be much easier for the retail operators, the growers, the processors, all the different players to operate at a much smaller scale. But at this particular time in history, it's very difficult for them to do that.
Jamin, David calls. He wants to know if you're hiring.
Actually, we are. From time to time, we do hire. And I would direct David to our website, which is www.diegopellicer.com. Pellicer is PELLICER.com. And you can go ahead and submit an inquiry through the Contact Us link on the website.
And you mentioned HempFest, of course, is coming up this weekend. Probably 250,000 people, or a lot of people, are going to be down at the Seattle waterfront to participate in this annual event to rally for the legalization of hemp, of marijuana, now expanding to the national campaign. Will Diego Pellicer be present?
Oh, yeah. We're a proud sponsor of HempFest, and we will have a booth pretty close to the main stage. So look forward to seeing everyone there.
You going to be there?
I will be there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for coming by, Jamin.
Ross, thank you very much.
Jamin Shively, former Microsoft Corporate Strategy Manager. Now he's the founder and CEO of Diego Pellicer. He wants to bring big marijuana to the table. I'm Ross Reynolds.